Father, it's such a privilege to call you Father, Lord, and to know what it took, Lord, all from one person to the next person for thousands of years you've worked, Lord, for us to know, Lord, and to look at you and know that you are our Father. Lord, not that we see with our physical eyes, but Lord, with the eyes that you've given us and the ears that you've given us, Lord, that are spiritual, to recognize the hour that we're living, to recognize that we're part of it, Lord. There's nothing greater in this world. I've lived for over 50 years in this world now, and although I haven't been all over the place, Lord, I've seen a lot and heard a lot and met a lot of people. And Father, there's nothing comes close to the few minutes in prayer even. And Father, if we could only convey that somehow, or if we could get out of the way and let you convey that somehow to the people, Lord, I will consider myself blessed that I was there, that you could use me. And Father, pray that you'll bring these words that we hear and read so many times, bring them to pass in our lives, Lord. We pray for revelation all the time. We thank you for all that you have already given us. We ask things now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. We're going to be in this perfect faith tonight and probably most of Sunday. But as we go along, I'm going to read this from the Church Age book again before I say this. Now, I'm not going to read the bold part there, but I'm going to start down where it says, they know it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. So God is going to fulfill his word, and the only way he can do it is through man. He ordained it that way. And so he's talking about the bride here, and they know that. They know that he's going to fulfill his word. He's going to bring his word to pass through her. And so as we go down through this message, Perfect Faith, I want to start pointing out some things to let you see how this was already, Brother Branham was already, God was showing him things and bringing these things into his heart for him to bring forth already. Here, this was in 1963. And as we go down through here, I'm going to point out about forgiveness and about faith and about revelation. And I want us to be thinking about those things because they're all connected. They're all connected. It's God speaking his word and bringing his word to pass. And when we think about revelation, it's not we got some intellectual understanding. That's not it. That's not it. In fact, you don't need your intellect at all. Was it Isaiah or I forgot which one it was? It said, God is able these rocks to raise children to Abraham. He don't need your intellect. All he needs is his predestination. All he needs, it's him fulfilling his word. Like Brother Don read the quote there before. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're going to find out that faith is not just some understanding. It's not something we work up. And I think most everybody already knows that. But faith is a substance. It is God coming into you. And as we go down through this message, brother, I was listening to it again today, and I'm telling you what, it's so good. What we're going to get tonight is good, but I don't think it's quite as good as what I have for Sunday. So, but you need this. You need to be standing on this. for you so that you'll see the other clearly on Sunday. And so let's get started here. Where Brother Branham talks about fulfilling his own word in them. He did not complete all his work back there in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through his bride. And she knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things. She knows that. She knows that it wasn't time for him to do it back there. The books has come open. We know what he was doing in every age. We know what he didn't finish in every age. We know what was left off in every age. So he's talking about something that can only take place now. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. And he said how he was going to do them. So just think about it. God's getting ready to do something, and you're part of it if you're a part of him. That should really stir something in us. If we're sons and daughters of God, that is the word of God. And that becomes substance in us. And that you can't have substance in you without works taking place. We're going to remember Brother Branham preached that message. Faith. Works is faith expressed. All right, so let's go down through here. Let's go to perfect faith, and let's start where he read the scripture. Now he preached this morning, or that morning, he preached, how can I overcome? And then at night he preached this message. How can I overcome? How can I overcome the devil? And he tells it plainly. And you'll see why he preached that one, because it goes with this one. Now let us read, Jesus answering unto them, have faith in God. And verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now we automatically think that what he's saying is we don't doubt what we're saying. And that's true. But he's also going to talk about that you can't have faith and ask for something if your heart condemns you. And that's what he was talking about that morning, about how can I overcome? Because you don't want to come to God when your heart condemns you. You need to realize what's going on. He has to be in the position. We talked about that position last time too. But be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall receive them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that our Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And then Brother Branham made the statement that has stuck with me for a long, long time. So faith, he says, now faith is based on forgiveness. Based on forgiveness. If you know you're not forgiven, or you know you think there's some problem and your heart condemning you, you can't have faith, not even start to have faith. And you can't accept what God wants to give you, because we find out that when your heart condemns you, that's unbelief. And if you have unbelief, you can't accept belief when you have unbelief. And then, as we said this morning, trying to get the church into the place where we could really see apostolic times moving among us, that's what we're all hungry. We all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door, you see. We see it, but we want to see more of it. We want it such a flow that it'll be a help to us flow out to others. So he's talking about how this flesh is going to come through you and why it's coming through you. Remember what Brother Bram just said up here a while ago, that she knows it's him doing his work. Amen. In her.
That's right.
And so it's not about her necessarily, but it's about him working through her for his bride. That's where we all have to be. Brother Ram said we will be. Think about, and I just put a note in there, think about what God done in the garden when he restored fellowship with man, and think about forgiveness being what faith is based on. So remember when Brother Branham said, well, the scripture says that as soon as God come over there, and we talked about this last Sunday, Adam had on the fig leaves. He tried to cover himself. He tried to get, you know, to fix his mistake himself, when it was going to take God fixing his mistake before he could come back into fellowship. And here comes God comes along, and the first thing he does is he kills that lamb and he puts it on him in a type. And Brother Branham said he could have fellowship with him again. Wasn't the same fellowship, but it was as he was beginning to move back that way. So God became a covering. He became his forgiveness there in type as he was moving back towards fellowship. Remember, Jesus, as we had in the lesson this morning, he never used his power for himself. Never used it for himself. Remember what Brother Bram said, eternal life is living for others. He used it for others. That's what it was sent for. And you think sometime, why would a man that was so full of power like him would have ever be sick? Yes, sir. I've read in some book somewhere where when he raised up that boy, the widow's son from Nan, I believe, the prince of the house of David, that he sat on a rock and groaned with a headache. See, he bore our infirmities. Bear means to pack them. He understood them because he bore them. Brother Ram said he was tempted into everything that we have been tempted in. He stood it all.
Amen.
Bear means to pack them. See, he bore. And he had all things like we have. He had sickness. He had temptations. He had trouble. He had frustration just as we have. Think about that. Now we're talking about God, because this was God as a man, knowing all of these things. He humbled himself to this, because the scripture says he became us that we might become him. He had frustration just as we have, because he had to be the right kind of a mediator. So he had to be partaker. Brother, you can't walk down a road and walk down a trial that he hasn't faced, that he didn't face already and faced down by God in him. Had to be partaker, the husbandman of the fruit. Before he would know, he had to be a partaker before he would know. The woman at the well and many things. See, if we looked right into the scripture, and I just put that note there about eternal life is living for others. And so if it's in a person, then they live for others. There's no choice about it. But Brother Don said a while ago, your life is gone. That one you're born with, that defeated one. I want to say that I believe every scripture and every bit of it to be true. There's critics today that don't want to believe that. A critic once said that when Jesus sent those disciples to where that colt was tied, where two ways met, that he prearranged that to where the colt was tied. And see, this is the same thing that they're trying to say about Brother Branham, And then Brother Branham saw the cloud in the magazine, and it was right about the time he was there, so he claimed it as his and said that that had to do with his ministry. So the devil just moves from person to person. He just, until one day, he'll be done away with. Where two ways met, that he prearranged that it would, that to where that colt was tied. See, they don't understand that God prearranged it. Isn't that glorious? God put the horse there, put the mule out, and said, and then sent somebody over there to where it was at. God put the horse, the fish there with the money in his mouth, and he sent him down to get that too. God foreordained all of that. God told me the other day with Brother Dow here that I would shake his hand on the street again. Now, that was a revelation given to Brother Branham. He was told that. And then he told Brother Dow that. Substance. Brother Dow accepted that. And God put it in his heart and he accepted it. That's very strange. I wasn't here that morning, but 2 minutes longer or 1 minute or a minute longer, I'd have not met him on the street. But I stepped off the car just in time to shake his hand when he was coming in on the street. And he didn't know me. He had his glasses off. He couldn't see me. And when he heard my voice, he started crying. What was it? Usually he doesn't do that. He usually don't see Brother Branham start crying. But there was something, there was a substance in his heart. But it was an answer to what he had been, was told up there under that oxygen tent that he would do it. Brother Branham had told him he would shake his hand on the street again. And now that was substance was reality. God prearranged it. That was pretty good. Brother Dow couldn't even see him because he didn't have his glasses on. And Brother Branham, if he'd have been just a minute or two the other way, I said, you'll also sit in the church again. His heart's desire, when we were having Chicago meeting, he wanted to come to that meeting. His heart was for it. I sent him a telegram of greetings for for us and the children. Told him we were praying that he'd get well right quick. And a loving brother who visited him said that he just wanted to come so bad. But here he sits tonight with us, see? That was not prearranged. The same God arranged it. He makes everything work perfectly on the dot. Now, we want to speak now upon faith. And a different type of faith. Now, this always puzzled me. Because, and I'm sure it's puzzled a lot of people. Because Brother Branham talked about there being an intellectual faith. And then now, and he's talking, and he'll go on here in a minute, and he'll talk about the disciples having a faith before the day of Pentecost and a faith after the day of Pentecost. And he's talking about how different it was. We want to speak now upon faith and a different type of faith, a perfect faith. That's a great thing. So we just keep listening. He'll tell us what he means by perfect as opposed to not perfect. Now, faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. There's a key right there. Faith cometh by hearing. And if you're only hearing part of it, it can't be perfect. Now, you cannot be saved without faith. And faith is something that you have to believe it's there. That really nothing else declares it's there but the faith. Who's the author and finisher of our faith? As Brother Don said. And the only one that declares it's there is the faith. So when it's when that substance comes into you, it declares itself that it's there. And there's no denying it at that point. It's not something you worked up. It's not something you figured out. It's not something you come by intellectual understanding. That really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Now, I'm trying to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for this prayer line in the next few minutes. Now, faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you can't come to God unless you believe he's God. That speaks to that's not like me getting up and walking over here to Katrina to say hello. No, you can't come to God unless you believe he's God. This is a deeper thing. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please him without that faith in you declaring who he is. And declaring this taking place, this is God. Brother Bram said, or the scripture says that Jesus told Peter, who revealed that to you? And Peter, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. And Brother Branham went as far as to say, even Jesus' flesh did not reveal that to him. Think about that. Amen. Even Jesus' flesh didn't do it. But without Jesus' flesh there and God working through it, there'd have been nothing for God to point to see. You see that? That's what God pointed to. It's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please him. So how can you fellowship with him if you can't please him? So fellowship, the basis of fellowship with God is this faith. It has to be there. This life, this declaring itself. You can't even identify God without this life in you identifying God to you. That's what identified to Peter who he was. That didn't come by Peter's intellect. He didn't catch it that way. Peter could have been 50 IQs dumber, and he still would have got it. Brother Rem said, it don't matter how smart you are or aren't. And it's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please him. And that's why it says that no man comes to him unless he draws him. And if you say you believe God, you have never seen him, see? So then you've got to believe it by faith. And if you could see him, it'd be no more faith. See? Anything that the senses declares is no more faith. It's a scientific fact, see? It's not no more faith. But you have to accept him by faith. So Brother Dow had to accept by faith what Brother Branham had told him, that he would shake his hand again on the street. And that become substance in Brother Dow's heart. He believed it. And that's pleased God for that to be there. But you have to accept him by faith. And he that cometh to God must believe God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. And we talked about what that means to hear it. See, you must first believe this is God's word. And you must come to God by the word. And remember what we read, that quote a while back about being born defeated. If it wasn't by his grace, how would we know these things? It has to be. It's by his grace that he gives it to us. Why do I keep saying these things? Because in this day of all the days, this is the day of Laodicea. And Satan and individuals are running across this world trying to get you to do something for your salvation. They're trying to get you to think you got something to do in it. When Brother Branham said, all you have to do is believe it. Amen. When he puts these things in your heart, he give you hearing. And when it drops into your heart and you said, that's the truth, you go after it. I got another piece of the message down there about that little Queen of Sheba. She was going. It didn't matter. She heard about Solomon. She heard about God doing these things in Solomon. And that was enough. She was going across all these deserts to find out and see this. She wanted to see that God in action. First, believe this is God's word. And you must come to God by the word. See? Just take the word, what it says, and that's right. Everything else contrary to it is not right. Abraham had to believe just what the voice told him. And when he was 100 years old, 25 years later, he was stronger believing it than he was 25 years ago when it was gift to him. So he held on to it and fought. And not only did he fight, but he got stronger in the battle. He believed it, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. Now, that wasn't something Abraham worked up on his own. We just, Brother Don read it. That was good, brother. I appreciate that. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He gave it to you. We read it so many times. It's a gift. He gives it to you. Just accept his gift. God through unbelief, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God, knowing that he was able to perform what he had promised. And that's the way everyone must be that way. Everyone must be that way. You must come with an unfailing faith. Now he's getting ready to tell you the difference between faith and perfect faith. This is an unfailing faith. You must come with an unfailing faith. Believe that God made the promise. But now you have to be in the position to have that faith. And that's what we're going to talk on, see, to receive that faith. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we're told faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, here's where many people fail to receive their healing or what they're asking for, because they take faith to be something that it's not. So they're trying to figure it out. If they take it for something that it's not, then they didn't wait for God to give it to them. They come up with their own idea about it. Because if God gives it to you, it's going to be unfailing faith. See, they don't believe it. It's not imagination. It is an actual substance. It's not an imagination. It's not an emotion, Brother Branham said. It's not a workup. It's a substance. Amen. Now listen close. See, it's not what you imagine. It's just as real as any sense of your body will declare anything else. It's just as real as my eyes says this is a piece of paper. Now, every time he's talking about faith, I want us to think about fellowship. Because when God is giving you faith, he's drawing you to him. How much more fellowship could that be? Now, we're still on oneness. I mean, I've changed the title, but we're still talking about oneness. I don't think you can get away from it. It's just, it's the day that we're living in, brother and sister. This is the day of the marriage. And there's no getting away from it. But as he reveals that word to you, he's drawing you to him. But as these things break in your heart and become substance, he's pulling you towards him. No man can come to me unless my Father draws him. And we know that we can't come to him without faith, because nothing pleases him but faith. It's just as real as my eyes says this is a piece of paper. It's just as real as that it is a light. It's just as real as to say I feel my coat. It's just as real. See, that's an unfailing faith. It's not one you're struggling to hang on to. It's one that's hanging on to you. It's just as real as I hear that baby talking there or making its noise. See, just that real as music playing. It's just as real as I taste anything in my mouth. It is that real, only You can't show it to somebody else. You can't do it. You have it alone. Think about what he's saying when he says that. That's something God and you have together. Brother Ram said that the only way that we're one in this day is that each person is one with God. Each individual is one with God. And is all the ones that are one with God are one. There's no division. You can't show it to somebody else. You have it alone. Amen. It's yours. Faith. Now remember what we said about Jesus' flesh and blood couldn't reveal it. So it was what God was doing in Jesus that God could point out to Peter what he was doing. It was what happened and God done in Jesus down there with the woman at the well, that he could point out to the woman at the well, this is that scripture you've been holding in your heart. Right here it is, sister. Right there it is, standing in front of you. And the same thing in our day when we hear these messages that we've been brought. It's yours. Faith is the substance, see, not just a myth. So many people come. Now, these are real deep lessons. And I'll catch the top of it, and then you dig down in it. I've heard a lot of people make it sound like this is just a regular message on faith. Brother Brown said it's a real deep lesson. Notice, it is something you possess, not imagination. If you really have it, it's just as real to you as any other thing that could be. It's just as real as you know that you're riding in your automobile. It's just as real as you know that you're sitting in the church. This thing, this revelation, it is God Almighty showing himself to you, communing with you. You're coming together with God. He's bringing his word to pass through you. Remember what we brought a few services back about God will present her a chaste virgin to him that he might reproduce himself? That's what's happening. When he reproduces himself is when he does that first scripture that we read. When he does the word that's left for today, when he works that through her, when that bride is presented to him and he can do and reproduce himself in her. Because that's what he's doing. He's reproducing himself to this age and this day and these people. It's just as real as you know that. And see, brother and sister, you're not putting on you sisters that put on these dresses and don't cut your hair. You're not just putting on a dress and cutting your hair. You're God's word made manifest. You're God's word manifest walking around in front of people. And they can look at you and make their decision about what they think about it. Because it's God's word. Not if you done it. Not if you decided because mama raised me this way or daddy raised me this way or this one does it or that one does it. No, it's not that. That's just a cult. That's just a clan, as Brother Branham called them. A lodge. That's all that is. One person doing something because another one does it. That's not what it is. It's when this becomes substance in your heart, and you do it for that reason. Later on, I listened to him today. He was talking about, you're not just doing it to dodge hell, he said. No, there's something else in you that's taking place. It's just as real as you know you're sitting in the church. It's just as real as you hear my voice. It is a substance, not an imagination, not an emotion, but something you have. And it comes to you by hearing the word of God, and that alone. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That puts it back to where your faith then is not in some individual. It's not a faith that goes this way and that way, and one day it's on and one day it's off. It's not in a man. It's not in an organization. It's not in a group of people. It's in God, because God is the Word, see? Your faith is in God. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Then when God, by His Word, not by what somebody else did, see, this is what I'm talking about. He's doing it in your heart. Not by what somebody else did, somebody else said, but by what God's Word said. God's Word says it to your heart. He said, let every man's lie, word be a lie and mine be true. Now you can see somebody else do something by a work or act of God or a promise of God. And many of them say, I can do that too. And boy, there was a bunch of those back there in that day. I can do that too. It's an imagination. When they think those things, it's an imagination. God didn't put substance in their heart to say those things. They work that up. It's an imagination. And when they do, they find them, you find them wrecked up out here, out there somewhere. It's got to be a substance. Now, what is that is potentially a faith. That is something that would bring you to a faith. It's potentially. Now, potentially, you know what potentially means. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's potentially. It's potentially. Like if you'd asked me for an oak tree and I gave you an acorn, potentially you have an oak tree. But what has to happen? It has to be planted. But it hasn't produced itself yet. Just because you got an acorn don't mean you got an oak tree yet. Because it hasn't produced itself yet. But when it really brings itself out, it is an oak tree. And when you imagine that God does this, but when it's revealed to you, it's a faith then, a perfect faith that cannot fail. See, so the perfect faith is the oak tree, and that other one could or could not be faith. All right. That's the reason those visions are so tremendous to me, because it's been proved right every time. See, and I know that he promised that. And he promised it in his word. And here he comes and promised it for this day. What he promised for this day, he's bringing to pass. Therefore, you know where you're standing. You know where you're standing because he promised it for this day. And you're standing on that. When he said so. See, that gives me a faith. Because he never does nothing contrary to his written word. You see why Brother Branham's saying that's giving him faith? Because if he's working these miracles, because Brother Branham can't work these miracles, he's bringing these healings, then that's because Brother Branham is telling the truth and God is making it known that it's the truth. He never does nothing contrary to his written word, see? And if it was contrary to the word, I couldn't have faith in it. Let that sink in. I just want that to sink in. If it's contrary to his word, I couldn't have faith in it. Brings it right back again to the word. See, faith in hearing the word of God. You must hear the word. You must take it in. It must be given. You must be given revelation by God. God's word is that all-sufficient word. It's all you have need of is this word. All right, so faith is based. I just want to put this little note in here. Faith is based on the word, which is our inheritance. Thus, based on redemption. Brother Bram said it was based on forgiveness, see? And so it's based on redemption. You can't have faith without redemption, because if you don't have redemption, your heart still condemns you. You're full of unbelief. But redemption takes the unbelief out, because without it, we'd be nothing if we didn't have redemption. Now, faith being the substance, and in there we find out in Hebrews that faith, what faith was and what those did who had faith. See, there's many times that people have faith today and tomorrow haven't got it. See, it's not that unfailing faith. It's not, as Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book, God's faith. When he said Peter's told him, "Such as I have, give I thee." He said he was not giving, Peter wasn't giving him his faith. He was giving him God's faith. If he wanted it, he could take it. See, there's many times that people have faith today and tomorrow they haven't got it. The next day there's something and something else. And when God once anchors it, just once, it don't come loose, brother and sister. And you see it, there's nothing going to make you move from it. Now he's talking about a perfect faith when we just read that in the Church Ages book. He's talking about what's taking place in this hour. But when God once anchors it and you see it, there's nothing ever going to make you move from it. You're just poking, reaching, presuming, and presume means to venture without authority. Faith is the only thing that gives us authority. You're just trying this and you're trying this and you're going this away and run here and run there. See, people trying to do it themselves. That's the biggest problem in this world, is people trying to do it themselves and not giving over to Christ and letting him do it. You haven't got the faith yet. But when that is what we call faith. I want you to, thank you, brother. I want you to get this now. The church has got to lift itself in the power of God now. We're too close to the end now. And I believe the church is in a condition where we can teach it a little deeper things and rub some of this make-believe out. Stop all this running back and forth and be in one day and out another day. See, and get something real. That reminds me of that little sister. He told the story so many times. It was in the crazy place or in the insane place. And he wondered why she was there. And it was because she'd gotten with the wrong crowd when she was younger. And she got out here and she'd basically become a prostitute. And then she'd try to straighten up and then she's back again. Back and forth and back and forth. And Brother Branham told her she was just turning the page. But one day, it wasn't a page that got turned. She got this kind of faith. It's got to be something that you know. And if you say, "Brother Branham, that isn't the light, yet I know it's a light." How do you know it's the light? I'm looking at it. Well, how do you know that you couldn't be wrong? My sight has always declared to me that that was light, see. That's the reason I believe those visions, because it's always declared to be the truth, because it comes from the Word. See, if he says it, that settles it. This age that we're living in, when he says things like, when he says it, that settles it. This age, that should be the most intimate word that God could say to you. When I say it, that settles it, honey. That's it. That's the way it should sound to us. Because if my word abides in you, if my word abides in you, if it abides in you, you are the word. And if you are the word and the word goes to act, the word knows exactly what to do, knows exactly what God wants to do, knows when to do it and when not to do it. When he settles it, then if he settles it, that settles it. Or if he says it, that settles it. Now, when it's declared like that, there's no more guesswork. it's going to be. Then you hear it, thus saith the Lord. See, because it's beyond the human thinking. It's up into the realms of the Lord's thinking. But you're standing here just as the vine, just as a branch producing the fruit that's in the vine. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. So the branch, he says, is producing the fruit that's in the vine. See, God uses man and man only. That branch don't have its own life. It gets its life from the vine. See, God uses man and man only. God doesn't use machinery. He doesn't use groups of men. He doesn't use organization. He uses individuals always. Now, faith is the substance, and by it we understand all of those things are done. So everything's done by faith, by a substance that God puts in somebody's heart through a man or men or women or whatever. It's not an imagination. It is a substance, especially perfect faith. That's what I'm talking on tonight. Getting to perfect faith, it's not an imagination. Now, others have people come up, have people come say, oh, I got all faith. Oh, I sure have. Well, what are you standing here for then? Why are they in the prayer line if they got faith? See, they don't even understand what it is what he's telling them. Because he just told you, if you got faith, you already got the substance for what you need. It's there. Your very actions prove that you haven't got what you're talking about. If you had faith, see, if there's faith there, it proves you do know what you're talking about. And if there's no faith there, it proves you don't know what you're talking about. If you had faith, then what you stand in the prayer line for, see? What do you do these things for? See, if you had perfect faith, you'd look right straight to God and believe it and walk away. That is a powerful statement. He just said it a while ago, though. If my word says it, that settles it. It's the same thing. Look right straight to God and believe it and walk away. You would have no need of coming into a prayer line. You'd have no need of these things because your faith has done made it so. Does it matter if you see the symptoms gone or nothing? That is enough of a symptom gone. Because that confidence that God has put in you, that it's gone. See, what would be in the use for me saying, I got to put a shirt on. I got a shirt on. Now think about all these things. This is a relationship with God. It's just not, I believe for this healing, or I believe for, I need a car, or I believe. It's not that. This is God bringing to pass his word in his people. It's a relationship. Now we're going to get into, I don't think I'm going to get into it tonight, but Brother Ram talks about that's where that faith comes from. That relationship, that love affair that's going on between you and God, between God and the individual. That's where that faith comes from. How do you know you got a shirt on? Well, I see it, feel it, I know it's there. See, how do you know you got a relationship with God? You know it. You can't explain it by reasoning. You can't explain it with words. You can't explain it. You can talk about it, but God's going to prove it in your life. Well, that's just how real that when perfect faith takes a hold, you don't need no more. It's already done. You know it. How do you know it? Faith tells me so. That's it. See? Do you get it now, what I mean, that perfect faith? Now, other words, I'm venturing out. Well, I'll go, and the Bible said, call the elders, let them anoint with oil and pray over it. I know I'll go up, and you say, well, I'm going to be healed. So they took some scripture, And they decided that they're going to bring that scripture to pass themselves. See, the scripture says this, and it says this, and now I know I'm going to be healed. They're doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going to make it come to pass, force it. Well, I'm going to be healed. See, you're making yourself, you don't watch now. You're going to make yourself just worked up. You're trying to bring his word to pass. What did we read the other day when he says, don't? He said, have you ever tried? Don't. Just believe him. Let him do it. See, you're making yourself. You don't watch now. You're going to make yourself just worked up. Then when he passed through, he say, oh, I still don't see. See, there you was. You didn't have faith. Your genuine faith will do it right there. Your genuine faith will make it so real that look at that little woman with the blood issue. She said, if I can only touch the border of his garment, I'll be made well. Now, see, if she'd have worked that up in her own head, it wouldn't have worked. But God put that substance in her. That's why it worked. That's why Brother Branham has just explained a while ago. He said, that's why those visions mean so much to me. He said he'd have the vision and then God brings the vision to pass. That means so much to him. He knows it's God because only God can do that. And he says that's the same thing that's going on right here. And as we go down through the message, you'll see he'll bring it out. If I can only touch the border of his garment, I'll be made well. And as soon as she did it, she said she felt within herself that her blood issue stopped. She actually believed it. And when she touched it to prove that it stopped, it stopped. Jesus turned and said, who touched me? That perfect faith touched Jesus. What did he say? Nothing. It's impossible to please God without faith. That perfect faith. And that same perfect faith tonight will touch Jesus Christ as it did then. The woman came with perfect faith for that time. Now we see it. The first of the disciples didn't have this perfect faith. They didn't have it because they were healing. People were getting healed, but they didn't have this perfect faith. Because they'd had Christ walking with them, but then afterwards Christ was in them. And so you see, it's hard to have this perfect faith without the Holy Spirit. It has to bring it. It does. The Holy Spirit has to bring this perfect faith. The disciples didn't have perfect faith, no. For they had an epileptic child there, and they were trying to cast this devil out of him, and they couldn't do it. And the father's seeing Jesus coming, of the father of the epileptic child, he saw Jesus coming, and he said, we have brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him, see? And afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus, saying, why could we not cure him? In the Bible, and Jesus says, because of your lack of faith, because of unbelief, of your unbelief. That's right. Because of your unbelief. I'm just going to read this. I don't remember. Now you should see him coming up and faith being based on forgiveness. It was beginning to bring us back into fellowship, into a communing with God. What kind of faith would you never sinned in the first place bring? If forgiveness is what it's based on, what about that? An utter forgiveness that you never sinned in the first place. What is it going to make? What is it going to produce? Brother Bram said we have to rub out these other things. Now remember, they had the power. Jesus had given them power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and cast out devils just a few days before that. They had the power, but not the faith to use the power. Now there's the Branham Tabernacle. There's the church, the bride today. He put us in there. All of them. The Branham Tabernacle, the bride, all of them is there. They got power, but they don't have faith to use it. There's the church, the bride today. The Holy Spirit is here with the power, but you haven't got that faith to move it. See? There's not that relationship. See what I mean? It takes faith to move it. Here I got a shell that I hand loaded. I know what it'll do by ballistics, like the word. But I've got to fire the gun. The fire has to get to the powder, and the powder's got the power. But it's got to have the fire to light it off. And the same thing, the powder's in the shell, but it needs faith to charge it and throw it out. It needs faith. It needs God telling and directing and working through his body. That's what it takes. See, perfect faith to ignite the power of the Holy Spirit, which we have now since he's come upon us. Faith to ignite, to see great things. The faith, something that presents it to you. Do you hear that? These great things is to the faith, something that presents it to you with a heart full of joy. You walk into the sick room knowing exactly what you're going to say. Walk in there and know what you're what's going to happen. Something's already seen, revealed, and you know it. And you walk in, and in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up from there, thus saith the Lord. There you are. That's perfect faith. If there'd be 10 million people standing there saying it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't faze you in the least. Because that substance in you is pushing it out. It's making it happen. It's nothing going to stop it. If there'd be 10 million people standing there saying it wouldn't happen, you know it's going to happen anyhow. Because you know it. It's going to happen regardless of what anybody else says. You're the one that's got the faith. Now, he is preaching this to us. He's not preaching it to himself. He already believes, he said. He's preaching this to us. Don't let that go over your head. He's preaching this to us. Could you imagine Joshua? He called the elders of Israel together and said, brethren, we're the servants of the Lord, and we'd like to say or ask the Lord if it'd be all right if he'd give us a little more sunlight, see, and hold the sun a little while. But we read that here a while back, what really happened, remember? It said Joshua had a need. Goes on a couple of sentences later, it says God had a need. God's need and Joshua's need, they were the same need. Amen. He commanded it. It was Joshua's voice and it was God's faith pushing it out. Now you start to see eternal. When the creation and the creator come in line, that's the eternal. You're starting to see the eternal. I would like for you to say, ask the Lord if it'd be all right if he'd give us a little more sunshine, see, and hold the sun a little while. Nah, he had need of it. And without prayer, without anything, he had need of it. He had need of it, and he just commanded the sun. He said, stand there, I have need. And I'm in the service of the Lord, and he sent me over here to do this job. And I'm doing the best that I know how. And the enemy is routed and they're out in the here. If I let the sun go down, they'll get together and cause me more trouble. So stand still. And moon, you hang there. Amen. She hung there for 24 hours. Who put Joshua in that situation? God put Joshua. If he can put a horse between two ways where two ways merge and then send somebody over to pick it up, or if he can put a horse, a fish out there with a piece of coin in its mouth, then he sure knew exactly what to do to bring this to pass. But the thing was, Joshua knew he was doing what God told him to do. You see the position he was in. He was in that position doing what God told him to do, and a need came. So when he was there doing what God told him to do, and that need came, whose need was that? It was God's need. And he was right with God on that. And it fired out the words and made it happen. Those weren't just a man's words. Those were, Brother Bram said, in no time has it ever been that God hearkened into a man's words like that. Not that so great a thing. Now, if the world's turning and he holds it up and the sun stayed in a place and it didn't run, don't run, what happened then? Now, you made yourself an infidel if you say this, and then if you don't, you're sure to be a fool with science. Because they said, if the world stopped, it dropped. So now, what? And if you say God's word is not right, then you're an infidel, see? What? But it happened. That's the main thing. Joshua didn't stop to wonder if he could stop the sun or stop the moon. He was doing what God told him to do. You see, what doing what God told him to do, where that put him, where that put his insides, his thinking, his manness, it put him in a place where he knew he was where God told him to be. And he knew that anything stopping him from this was not God, and he could, it was against him. So just go back and read that and pray about that a little bit. Let the Lord, you know, you hear me talking here, but you need to go and spend time with the Lord, because I can talk all day and God's the one going to put it in your heart, not me. I'm not going to put it in your heart. Brother Don, Brother Kenyon, nobody's going to put it in your heart but God Almighty. But that's the main thing. But it happened. That's the main thing. I don't know the mechanics of it, but it happened. I don't know the mechanics of the Holy Spirit, but I know it fell on me. I can't tell the mechanics of it, but I know the blessings of it. That's all I care to know about, is the blessings of the Holy Ghost. And the mechanics, he works them. That's his secret. This boy could not be healed because the disciples had power, and God gave them power to heal all manner of sickness, to cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. He gave them power, but they didn't have faith to operate that they had. What did he give them? They didn't have faith to operate it. And then that they questioned Jesus and said, well, now, why couldn't we do it? Now, remember, they had the word, and the word was flesh then, because the word was right there among them. And the word told them, I give you power. Amen. I give you power. Jesus told them, he gives him power, including Judas. And they had the power, but they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. See what I mean? But Jesus had it. He was the word, and he had faith that what he said would happen. He said, oh, bring him here. How long will I suffer you? He had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. That's how come he had power, because he knew where this was coming from. Why? He relied upon what he was. He relied upon that God had made him for this purpose. What we just say a while ago about Joshua, God put him in that place. He was relying on that when he told the sun to stand still. He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. Think about this, brother and sister. This, he's putting us here, right there, now, that we can rely upon knowing that we are the Word. Get that. Don't let that go past you. He relied in knowing that he was the Word, and he had faith in God who made him the Word. He believed he was the Word, and he believed God had made him that way. He was God, the Word, and they was in him, the Word, I guess. And that give him faith because he understood his position. He understood who he was and why he was there, and the Word wrote about him. And what about us, brother and sister? Do we understand the hour that we're living in, the Word that's wrote about us, and the position that he put us in, such that we can believe in that he's put us in? I'm not talking about just us sitting here. I'm talking about the bride all over the world, wherever they are. He understood his position. He knowed what he was because the scripture had said he was this. He knew who he was because the scripture told him who he was. What did we just read a while ago? If my word says it, that finishes it. That's what it means to us. When he says it, oh, that's us. We're a part of that. And here, every scripture tied in. Because the scriptures had said he was this. And here, every scripture tied in to prove that he was exactly what the scripture said. He believed it so much that he told them, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. For they are they that testify. They're the actual words coming to pass that you say you believe. They're going on right now in front of you. Believe them. That's how much he believed. He would be. He to prove that he was exactly what the scripture said he would be. And he knew he was. He knew he was. And what's she going to do? She's going to finish that work that he didn't finish. God's going to finish through his bride. And what did he say he was doing here? It was God working through Christ here. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. Can we rely tonight on what God has made us? Not what we made ourselves. Because we can't make ourselves anything. But what God has made us. Can we rely on that? And I believe we can. And if they did that, I'm sorry, he relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You're a believer. And if you got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we don't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, what about true justification? Then we have faith. We have confidence towards God. If you want to make fun of that message, you're going to cut, people's going to cut their lifeline making fun of the invisible union. Making that justification the same thing that was back there with Luther. If you want to read that, found it. No, I'm sorry. Let's back up. I'm sorry that I break things up. But whenever the thought comes to me, I got to say it right then. Because I have all along thought, well, let me finish this sentence. And when I get the sentence done, the thought's gone. So I've learned to just stop. So if I make a mess, y'all got it. You can read it. But I just want to say what he puts on my heart to say. But if our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith. If there's no unbelief in us, if they don't uncondemn us, then we have faith. God done that. God took all the unbelief out. And there's only faith. If you want to read that, found in St. John 3:21. I got the scripture written down here. There. Now notice, I mean 1 John 3:21. Notice, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. That's what Jesus had. He had confidence in who he was. Brother Bram said he had so much confidence that he said, go ahead, tear this temple down and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. But As long as you're doing things that's wrong, you can't have confidence towards God. See, you'll automatically know that you're wrong. Just like you'll automatically know that you're born again, you automatically know when you're wrong. You automatically put yourself back there a sinner by knowing that you're wrong. But when your heart don't condemn you, and you know that you are a believer, and there's nothing between you and God, you can ask what you will and know that it'll be given, because it's the word that's given to you, just like it was those disciples. Amen. I hope I didn't break it up too much there, but that's going to sort of lay the groundwork, and it just gets better and better in that message. If you want to read the message, and go ahead, you know, read the message, and we'll start right there, right around 60-something when we come back on Sunday. Do you love him? I tell you. You know, what was that song we used to sing? It said, then when I first, I can't remember how it goes, but it was about loving him so much more now than you did then. I can't remember what song that is. Maybe Michael knows what those words are. But I tell you, it's the truth. I love him so much more because I know him so much more. And we're going to get in more into that in the next service about where that faith comes from, that relationship and stuff. Brother, there's never been a day like this day. Never been a day like this day. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you included us in that little group, Lord. We're believing that we're a part of that little bride that's here in this last day, Lord, the one that you said you were going to work your ministry through. And so, Lord, may we be as Jesus was, as he prayed we would, be one with you as he was, one, that we might, Lord, recognize the same, recognize ourselves as the word in this hour, and that you are working through your word, Lord, and bringing it to pass. Let us lay everything else aside, Lord, and live for others. Brother Branham talked about that Reverend Lily, Lord, how that it went and growed up through all the mud and everything all by itself. And then when it bloomed out at the top, it was still by itself. And the bees would come by and get the honey. And the people would come by and smell it and look at it. And Lord, it just was giving it out with nothing in return. And Father, we've saw that happen in servant after servant. And Lord, if you're in us, it'll be the same. And may it be the same, Lord. Go with us this week, Lord. Grant that we can walk with you, Lord, in this perfect faith. For it is that hour. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.